This episode is brought to you by the Webcomic Beacon 2012 Spring Comic Book Giveaway. This spring, we're going to be giving away 4 copies of the volumes 1 and 2 of Family Bones. That is based on a true story about Ray and Faye Copeland, the serial killers. And along with that, there's going to be 1 CD pack giveaway of The Boobles, which is a memory parody of Beatles songs. So you can go ahead and check it out at webcastbeacon.com/giveaway for more information on how to enter and a little bit more information on the things you can win.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 221 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, a part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, comic news, tropes, and web fiction, all at the Webcast Beacon Network. I'm Fess of ArgerComic.com, and with me we have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Well, hello there.
And returning with us as a third co-host this week, we have Alex. I was going to say Trebek. Alex Heberling of alexesguide.net. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello.
Isn't that announcer voice? Here's Alex Trebek. No. and this week.
Silly guess. I'm not
yes. This week, the plan is to have an episode about writing without an end in sight. And with us, we have all the way from girlpower.comic.com, we have David Barrick, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yep.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
That's Girl Power with 2 R's and no I.
So there.
All right. Let's see here. Before we get started, there's a couple of things I want to mention. Let's see here. We have, if you go to webcastbeacon.com and check out the site, you'll see a little image on the side of the site that says comic book giveaway. Go ahead and click that and find out ways to enter that, and you can win a set of the graphic novel Family Bones, basically volumes 1 and 2, and we're giving away 4 of those, so we can have 4 people that can win that, and 1 lucky winner will also receive the Boobles the Boobles Memory Parody Musical CD. You can find out more at theboobles.org for that. It's and the proceeds go to breast cancer research. And you can find out more about Family Bones at familybones@kingtractorpress.com. Speaking of which, I am going to be having a review of that graphic novel coming up at some point. I have a couple of comics that have been submitted that I need to do video reviews of. So be sure to stay tuned for those. Also, because Valentine's Day had come up, we had tried to do the webcomic Blind Date. And I'm sad to report that not everybody handed in their stuff. We had 2 pairs that one where the writer didn't respond and one where the artist didn't respond. So if I knew that ahead of time, I could have got the other 2 people back together. Just ironing out the bugs for when I try to coordinate future projects like that in the future. I think it's a fun sort of way to get people involved and such. But you can see 5 of the 7 submissions if you just go to webcastbeacon.com. I'll also add a link to this blog. So that was really, really fun. We got some really great submissions. And that is about that for that. I do want to mention that people that have been listening to the Webcomic Beacon newscast or haven't been, they actually changed their format. They're trying something new, and I would encourage people to go check out the Webcomic Beacon newscast, newscast.webcomicbeacon.com, and give it a listen and see what you think. going to talk about a little bit more stuff later in the show, but let me just cross these off because I already talked about them. And we're going to get right to Dave here with his comic, Girl Power. And before we get on the topic, I would like to have Dave tell us about Girl Power. What the heck is it?
It's a comic about, you know, girl superheroes. There's more than just girls in the comic, but the primary, the main characters are all women. So, because I find women more interesting to write and draw.
Damn right.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, and it's so far the comic has been primarily humor. There's been a little bit of action in it, but I'm still introducing a lot of stuff. And once I get that out of the way, then I can get to some action scenes, which will be probably punctuated with humor, but it's funny because I say women superheroes, but it's not a lot of typical, you know, skin tight outfits and stuff like that. It's weird. It's the comic itself is very, really bizarre at a lot of times with the humor, but I've tried to take a kind of realistic approach to superheroes in the world. So they're not just all costume vigilantes running around. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, you sort of have it as it's an actual organization with structure and right now.
Yeah.
At least the part that we're seeing. You also have, basically it revolves around this girl that has a secret. and in the current story, why was that so funny?
You're like, she has a secret.
Oh, she does. And we might be learning about that in the current pacing of the story right now. And so that's been kind of getting interesting. But one thing I really wanted to ask you about, I mean, this is a full-page color comic, full-color comic that updates once a week. And when you started the comic, or at least when I got wind of it, which was fairly soon after you started it, you had images of the characters that are going to be in the comics cycling at the top whenever you refresh the page. And then as the comic was updating, I was recognizing that these are clips from the comic. In fact, they were clips from the comic that were a couple of months in advance. I want to know, how many comics did you have done before you started posting online?
Well, before I started posting, I had maybe like 18 pages done, because I was really concerned with my ability to keep up with a weekly comic like this. I mean, it sucks that I can only do one page a week with a full-time job and all that other stuff.
Right.
But I just wanted to make sure that I could keep that pace. And so it took me a while to make myself start drawing all the time. And then once I did that, I wanted to go a few weeks and make sure that I could keep doing that every week. So my buffer has kind of eroded down to basically nothing now, and I need to correct that.
Yes.
But I haven't missed a post yet, so I'm keeping up with it at least.
Yeah, the elusive buffer.
Had one of those.
Yeah, it's tough to rebuild a buffer when it takes my entire weekend to draw a page. It takes me, I don't know, 10 to 16 hours to do a page. Because it's, I mean, full color, pencil, ink, color, you know, writing, all that stuff. And I experimented with a few formats before I started doing the comic, like trying to do, you know, can I do that as a 3 or 4 panel gag strip? Not really. I mean, the problem is I learned to draw from drawing comics, and so doing sequential art seemed like the only real option.
Right. And, yeah, I do. This, I mean, that's when I give my presentation on people starting webcomics for the first time, one of the biggest thing I say is basically practice drawing your schedule. Like, you want to update this many times? Well, do that, but don't start posting. And then basically you use this practice schedule to build your buffer and also learn what your update pace realistically is.
Yeah.
There's also been I've seen this around the webcomics sphere a little bit. Some comics will basically update in seasons, where they'll take some time off to work on the entire next chapter, and then when the next chapter comes out, it like updates daily until it's over. And then of course they push the comic for sale and everything like that. I think I'm going to want to try to get some of these people on the show in the future and talk about that. But I wanted to present that out there as an option that might be viable to some people, as well as getting some reader feedback if this is something they don't mind happening. I mean, there's no set rules for webcomics, really, though the usual rule of thumb is the more frequently you update, the bigger potential audience you can get. Consistently back to your site, of course.
I think with story webcomics, that's okay, because I've gotten comments from people that say that they enjoy the comic, but they only check in once a month because they want to see a chunk of story at a time. A lot of people do that, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't do well for hits, but you know, if you still got a good comic, people will come back for it. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the ticket.
Yeah, but I think the more you make people work for the comic, the better your comic has to be.
Oh yes. I had this like rule of thumb. If you're updating a full color, full page comic once a week, you're going to be a lot better off than somebody updating simply a black and white strip once a week. Unless that strip is phenomenal. Yeah. It's like, there's no reason to have one black and white strip once a week. And expect people. I mean, if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. But, you know, you shouldn't expect people coming in by the horde to come in. And, all right. So for when you start, Girl Power, like, where did you get the idea to, this is what you wanted to do for the webcomic, like this particular idea?
Well, it was, reading comics like anybody does, they come up with their own heroes. And over, you know, years and years of doing it, a team that I liked kind of culled out some of the other heroes that I made that were, you know, when you're 8 years old, you make the guy that has claws pop out of his hand and his name is, you know, Saber Claw. You know, everyone is super derivative characters. But eventually you come up with a stable of characters that you enjoy. And, you know, I'd always kind of wanted to take a shot at being a comic artist, but I am kind of a slow artist. And so I figured the only way I could really put a comic together would be to do it as a webcomic. And plus, a lot of people who do comic books don't get paid super well. So, I mean, I'd love to do this full time, but the idea of just, you know, quitting my job and submitting my work to some company and trying to make a go at it that way was not super appealing to me.
Right.
So it was just a stable of characters that I had, that I had all these different scenes and interactions and fun little vignettes, you know, going on in my head all the time. And eventually I just started kind of codifying it and drawing it, and there it is.
Now, you said you wanted to be a comic artist. What kind of artwork did you do before this?
The same kind, pretty much.
Well, you weren't doing comics, you were saying. You were...
Well, no, I mean, you know, you sit around with your friends who draw, and you draw your characters, and you do little five-page ashcan comics, and
okay.
And I have other art online. I have a DeviantArt page, which I've kind of abandoned because I've made a new one under, you know, that's related to the Girl Power one. Because the strategy of like setting up a webcomic, there's so much to do. I mean, I'd never used Twitter before I started doing a webcomic. Just setting up all that stuff. It's actually kind of a lot of work.
Yeah, I only noticed you on Twitter like within the last month, actually, and you had your comic up for a while. So I don't know if somebody started retweeting you or if you just got into Twitter recently. But it's like, hey.
No, I've been on Twitter for, as long as the comic's been around. I guess I didn't quite understand that most of my communication on Twitter is retweeting, or not retweeting, but responding to people, which apparently is only seen by people who follow both people.
Yeah, that's so stupid.
Yeah, it's and I tend not to be the kind of person that I'm very bad at self-promotion, I think. So, you know, I've seen like Dawn Griffin, who you've had on here, is, you watch her on Twitter, and she's very good about, you know, here's a comic, without being like, every single post that she does is that.
Oh yeah.
You know, which gets irritating, but she's, I think she's found a good balance of self-promotion, which I guess I need to be better at. basically just doing more original tweets rather than just responding to other people's stuff, which very few people see.
Mark, did you want to say something?
I absolutely suck at self-promotion.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm just saying. I just suck at it. Apparently.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Totally suck, Mark. You do. I must have saw like a retweet or whatever, because I follow like 600 people or something like that. Something really ridiculous. it must have been a retweet, because honestly, I'm on Twitter all the time. And when I'm at work, I can, you know, I'm my best thing to do is just see what's updating, who's saying what, and then I'll see somebody that had been retweeted or is talking to that I might recognize. Oh, hey, that comic that I read, they have a Twitter. There we go. I follow 473 people and I have 819 followers for some reason, and I have over 25,000 tweets. There we go.
Yeah, it's funny because when I see a new comic artist on Twitter, I'll click on their profile and look at it, and I kind of gauge how many tweets they have and look at their timeline a little bit. And if they tweet something every 5 seconds, I don't really care how interesting it is. I don't follow them. I want, you know, updates with a little bit of meat in them, not the kind of thing like, oh, walking to the door, opening the door, walking out to my car, which, you know, Twitter gets a bad rap for stuff like that because that's what people were using it for in the very early days of it. But now it's...
Well, yeah. Everything I tweet about is about, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, I don't feel really good today. I'm not going to blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, most of my tweets are usually something about what I'm doing, or I get into a Twitter conversation with some people. And obviously this is not something that Twitter's great for, but, you know, let's see here. So when you started this comic, and we're getting to our topic here. How did you come up with this idea and not really have an end sort of planned for the comic? What was the sort of goal for this as far as the storyline? Yeah.
The comic isn't really, it's kind of a day in the life of type comic. It's mostly about here are these characters interacting with whatever situations I put them in. And, you know, there's humor, there's action, whatever. But it wasn't like, okay, here's the bad guy, you know, from the very beginning. And here is the overarching story. It's not that there won't be, you know, plots and, you know, things that happen during the comic. But, I mean, it's like any, you know, comic you kind of sit down to do, or a lot of them that you read. It's just, here are these kind of self-contained stories. And at first I was a little concerned that I would start running out of material, because it's like, okay, I have these two dozen fun little scenes in my head with the characters doing these different things. But then as I start doing the comic, I started taking notes, and like every time I thought of a joke, I'd crack open Evernote and keep a note of that. Just like, oh, I'll use this joke later. And every once in a while I would sit down, okay, here's, I need to write a page with this character. And I wind up writing like 4 pages, you know, it's just, I'm probably a little verbose when it comes to, I mean, I'm bad at editing. I tend to, you know, put too much on a page or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as like not having an end in sight, you know, I mean, I think a lot of comics are like that. Even, you know, I mean, Gag-A-Day ones don't really count because it's not like they would have a storyline anyway. But, and it's not to say that I'm going to do the comic for the next 60 years or anything. But right now, I mean, I'm nowhere near running out of, you know, content for it.
Well, you're still, I'll
just keep going with it as long as I've got humorous stuff to write.
Well, you're still in the middle of, you know, a storyline that's going on, and if you say your buffer's kind of down to nothing, I mean, obviously, you have a planned, you kind of have a plan for where this is going, right? The confrontation. I mean, obviously, what's going to be coming in the next few pages, you have a plan for, which would you might call that sort of like the end of a storyline coming up soon, like a turning point, and then they're going to be going on to something else, or is it just kind of like this sort of constant thing? You don't really envision a chapter or something.
It's funny because I actually recently did I guess you could call it a bonus page, but it was just a chapter break, like a splash page. Because it was the end of like the scene of like, you know, the character the main character, Sydney, goes to the, you know, she establishes she's got a comic store, a couple things happen, she goes to the bank, meets one of the main characters, and then gets taken to their base. And so the scene in the bank took way longer than I thought it would, just because I kept coming up with jokes for it. And I'm like, you know what, at some point I needed to just cut and run out of the bank scene, because there was like 10 or 15 pages that I could have, like more, that I think would have had pretty, you know, humorous stuff in them. And if I was doing a page a day, if I had somehow that capacity, yeah. I would have put them in there. But, you know, I mean, it's a year and a half and I haven't even essentially even finished introducing all the main characters, which is ridiculous. But, you know, at a page a week, what are you going to do? But yeah, so each, pretty much the way I write is I have like these scenes of like, here is a funny thing or some cool action or whatever little speech I want a character to give. And then I work to just bridge those scenes together. So it hasn't been a problem so far. Now, I'm sure there may be some points at which I kind of start running out of, you know, I'm winding a scene down and I'm not quite sure where to go with it next. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of jokes that aren't necessarily, you know, related to, they don't have to fit into a timeline. It's just once I have everybody established, then I can do, here they are sitting at the base. You know, it's not the middle of a plot line or anything. So I can just throw, here's a scene of them doing something and something funny happens or whatever. And I have a lot of stuff like that too. But mm-hmm. since it takes me so long to get through a scene at a page a week, when I start, you know, working my way towards the end of a scene, I have plenty of time to think of what's going to bridge into the next scene. So it hasn't been a problem yet. I don't see that it will be, okay. Hopefully anyway.
Yeah. Well, all right. I think with that, we need to take our first break. And when we come back, more. Believe it or not. The Webcomic Beacon now presents First Issue, a brand new video series from the Webcast Beacon Network, in which three cartoonists from differing backgrounds take a look at the first issue of a comic and see if it succeeds or fails in doing what a first issue is supposed to do, and that is to make the reader want to get the next and following issues. You can check that out at firstissue.webcomicbeacon.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
And, that's right. I wanted to have Kez on a show to talk about ending one's comic. So, giving a plan to end a comic. There's somebody else I wanted to have on as well about that. So I will look into that as a future topic. Ending a comic. Writing it down. Another idea for a future show would be, we're talking about writing a comic without an end in sight. I'm going to be wanting to do a show where we're going to be about writing a comic with an end in sight, or in particularly planned. And I already got somebody who has an end of a comic planned that's several, at least a dozen chapters out. So that's like a long-term plan. So if there's anybody out there, I'll be looking for a couple more people to get on a show like that, where you actually start a comic and you have an end planned for it. Additionally,
I have an end planned for the end. And I've got an ending for the comic I'm starting in the summer too.
Well, we might have you on then. All right. I also been talking to Yamano once again. I was talking to her about doing a show about doing like fan comics. Mm-hmm. But then I realized it would be better to do a whole episode on shipping. Handling optional, which. Yamano would be a great person to have on for female shipping.
Yes, she would.
I'll need to find somebody that does male shipping, to be fair. And I would like at least one male shipper, because otherwise we might just have female shippers on the show.
Wait, shippers? What?
Am I misunderstanding FedEx? The term shipping here?
Oh, here, I just learned what shipping was like a couple of months ago. Shipping has to deal with relationships, as in you take a couple of...
I think you're talking about like setting off t-shirts and stuff.
Pairing, slash, that
you know,
sort of...
Like, say, taking the female version, Fiona, from Adventure Time, and shipping her with Princess Bubblegum, or shipping Princess Bubblegum and Marceline together.
Is that just called slash fiction?
It's called because you're
slash,
putting them into
slash
a relationship.
And shipping are overlap, but they are different things. Okay. Shipping is also like, here, you know, you ship Harry and Hermione, or you ship Ron and Hermione, or you ship Harry and Draco.
So it's a mashup, is what you're saying.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, putting people into a non-canon, typically usually a non-canon relationship, because you want it.
Mm. I'm pretty sure that writing a story with Kirk and Spock getting it on is non-canon.
Well, I had seen the original series, and, well, it was, you know, the times, they probably couldn't allow something like that. But
they,
you know,
wouldn't still do that. I'm sorry. Not everyone is gay, Fest.
Yeah, shipping doesn't...
I mean, folks are, but not everybody's gay. Yeah. Not everybody's bi.
Shipping does not need to be...
Sometimes a phaser is just a phaser.
Anyway. Yeah, it can be any sort of relationship, and we'll get into that more in the future once we do that show. So I'm going to cross off that note on my list here, and we got two more things I want to talk about. We'll do that next break. Now we're going to get back to let's see here, Alex.
Yes,
Heberling, not Trebek.
That's me.
Yes, you have a comic. You had a comic called Garanos. Did you have an end for that one when you started?
Yes, I did.
Now, did you when you made that one? Did you like before you even started drawing page one? Did you have like the whole story sort of there, or just sort of like the beginning and the end and checkpoints?
Well, it's kind of interesting. The first volume was written as a standalone story, and when I was, you know, posting the first volume online, I hadn't really decided whether I wanted to continue with it or just let it sort of be a, you know, sort of one volume standalone comic. And then, you know, it took me about a year to finish the whole volume, and then I decided I don't want to do it right now, so I'll keep going. And I hadn't written the rest of the story. I just had it in my head. So at that point, I had a rough idea of what I wanted to get to when, you know, when Garanos really ended at the end of volume 3.
Okay. That quote unquote really ended. Did you have that at the beginning of when you were just going to do the one volume, or did you just have the one volume planned in your head and then maybe got more ideas later?
I only had the first volume really solidified in my head. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Yeah. That can certainly, be a thing where you have sort of a plan or a desirable plan, or and then you keep going, and then you just, you know, you flesh out more of an idea, more of what you want. This will happen with a lot of like older webcomics, I would have to say, that are still updating. Something like Elguna Shive is something that sort of just started as a I'm making a webcomic sort of thing, I'm just having fun, and then you know, lo and behold, your characters really start developing, and you're really starting to get a story. And then you're kind of left.
Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, you're left sort of with like this not quite good and matching beginning of your comic, which is what happened to me as well. But here's the thing, you know, I kind of started as, I'm going to make a gag a day comic, and I do all the break all the rules, such as breaking the fourth wall in the first couple of strips, saying, we're making a webcomic in the strips. It's like, stupid. But
did it star you and your friends, too? Because that's what I did for my first webcomic.
Yes, well, kind of. Well, it starred me, and then I later said, no, that character's not me.
Right.
Despite it being fast and looking like me.
There's like four versions of you in this comic, right?
there's two. But yeah, I'm not going to go into that part. But the point is that once, you know, I started going and I started getting ideas for more and more things to have these guys do, and then I added another character, and then I got a little bit of ideas for like little storylines. But as far as like an absolute end, I didn't even think of it. I mean, right now I'm to the point, I'm supposed to actually start updating again next month. And I'm still have all this other stuff I need to do. But, no, I'm to the point where I'm trying to bring everything together, close all the plot holes, which I kind of did last year too. For the most part, I closed plot holes. Now it's getting a little bit more very story driven. There's a story I want to finish because I can't let things just be alone. And I will say I have an end to the coming chapter. I have an end sort of planned. I know that there's supposed to be like a final sort of thing, but it's certainly set up where, you know, it can go on if it wants to. I have no idea where to go on from there. I have a few ideas of potential thoughts, but the way that I write, I don't really have a plan yet. As I know things I want to do, but I don't have an actual plan. And then, you know, it's almost like maybe I should end the comic, but, or it's a spot where it could be ended. So it's kind of open, but it's like, you know, I don't want to give these characters up. I really enjoy this. And same thing with Ardra, as I'm working on right now. Which some people have seen some of the stuff that's been going on about Ardra. Jason has stepped down from Ardra for assorted reasons. So I'm basically in charge of it right now and mostly own the comic now, I suppose. But the current storyline that we're, because he's still working on the current storyline with us, and then after that is sort of up in the air. Or at least it's my job after that for the coming storylines. But it's the way that this current storyline is, we could seriously just end it after that. And I think Jason did actually have an end planned for the comic as well. But,
really?
Yeah. But because he has a sequel sort of planned as well too. And in fact, we worked something out where he has the rights for an alternate future. And so I can keep continuing Ardra, however, with all the different stories and ideas that I have, because I was like, I'm not ready to end it at all, but the storyline we have coming up could be an ending.
So you do amazing Ardra and he does spectacular Ardra?
No, I'll be doing ultimate Ardra, and
I see.
Oh God! Somebody just suggested fest shipping, and I'm like,
yeah,
and like, no, it's not that type of furry comic. Anyway,
I do pretty long storylines sometimes, and the reason for that is, I normally do a gag a day strip, but I found, and it's kind of like crack, you get addicted to it. I found that when you tell a story, like a storyline, in your comic, it actually makes it really easy to do updates because all you have to do is fill in the blank. You know how the story is going to begin. At least I do. I usually know how it's going to end. I know the high points in the middle, and I'm just filling in the blank. And I found that made it a hell of a lot easier than doing your straight gag a day because you already have the template there. You just have to fill in the blanks. That's probably why some of my storylines drag on ad infinitum. They just go on and on and on.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying about having bits written and then you just have to bridge into them.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually surprisingly easy. So I do that. I don't actually have an end for my comic necessarily. Because it is a gag a day, it's meant to just go on and on and on and sort of be seamless. I mean, I guess I could end it, but I don't want to. There's too much to do. I have too many storylines.
Exactly. That's how I feel. Did you have, since you did start as a gag a day, did you even remotely think about an ending for the comic at all?
No.
Oh, there we go.
No, I did sort of come up with one. that would tie up all the loose ends. But I, you know, why would I do that? I can't even finish the storyline I'm working on now. So it makes no sense to start that one. But just as an exercise for myself, I was like, well, how would I end this if I really wanted to? And I did sort of come up with something. I'll never do it, though. But it was an interesting exercise. Maybe other people could try that, too. Just stop and think. How would you end your comic if you decided to, rather than just walk away from it?
Oh, right.
And that's always interesting, an interesting exercise, I think, just in writing or just thinking about your strip and your characters and the direction it's going. Maybe might be a good mental exercise to undertake.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Yeah, it's funny if you look at any comic, really, that has, I guess, a story. I guess you could do it with a gag a day, but, you know, the cast page just explodes over time. You know, you look at it, they encounter this guy, and then the roommate, and this guy, and then the evil boss, and then whatever. It, you know, if you write those characters well enough, then you could just take any one of them and just spin them off into their own story, I think. I think that's a test of if a character is an interesting tertiary character, if you could just start a new comic with them.
There's that, too. Otherwise, there's something like what Dave Willis has done, which is basically sort of made new... I mean, he started with Joyce and Waukee, or It's Waukee, and then there's Joyce and Waukee, and then he takes all the characters and kind of puts them into not a sequel that's short-packed, and then there's, like, not a reboot that's called Dumbing of Age. But, you know, you get to like these characters is the thing, and it's like you don't really want to let them go for some people. And there's also... Who are the people behind Menage a Trois?
Giselle Lagasse?
Yeah, you know, it's like they're not... They kind of recycle characters, or at least character designs, but they're also kind of recycling the characters. So that's like another way... I mean, if you don't... You may end a comic, but you're still sort of like carrying the characters on. Kind of like I think somebody put it, as if they're actors. They're just doing another thing. So you can sort of continue a little bit if you don't want to. It's I don't know if it's meta that way, but you know, there's certainly different ideas if you know you should end a comic. But you don't necessarily have to get rid of your characters, is I guess what I'm trying to say. The other thing is, yeah, you know, I got all these ideas for like shows now I want to do about how to end your comic or ways to end your comic. Sometimes people will end their comic in such a way as in they don't know how to end it, so they just sort of end it. Some of which, you know, just to give some sort of closure, like it's maybe a little bit forced. Like they got canceled, and this is their last season. I want to find all the webcomics, you know, and listeners, help me out here. Help me find webcomics that have ended because of a wedding. I know this is a trope. I know this is a trope where it ends because the couple gets married, and then there's nothing to say about it. There's no sort of romantic sort of tension anymore. It's all like done. You know, Get Smart ended with a wedding. It ended with them having kids or something like that. But
well, that was their last season. I don't know if that he didn't like retire or anything.
Right, but that's what it ended. It's like you could have gone on, but you don't really want to go on anymore. But you got to end it somehow. And I think wedding is sort of like the cliche closer.
Isn't that kind of how Marry Me ended, even though it did get a sequel?
Yeah, that's another thing. But then again, you know, that's kind of... But then again, that's sort of the point of that story, too. I mean, that was true, kind of there.
I think that's an exception to the cliche.
Yeah, when it's actually... I'm talking...
When it's actually the whole point of the story.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of that, like, ending something because of the sudden... It's not really a lack of romantic tension. You know, you watch 8 years of X-Files and Scully and Mulder never get together because that would ruin the tension. It's like,
look at Remington Steele.
Well, I mean, it seems like a real weakness on the part of writers. Like, if you can't move them forward as a couple, there's no stories to tell there.
There's always tension.
I know.
It seems like what the problem is there is they fall into this formula, because every week you expect a certain formula in your show. Mm. And if you do it the wrong way, and say like Remington Steele, I would say, where they finally actually slept together, well, where do you go from there? You know, they really didn't seem to plan that out very well.
Well, it goes from will they kiss, to will he get anal, you know. That becomes the new piece of tension.
Will he get double?
That or the rocks fall and everybody dies thing, the sort of give up end, which I know, you know, it's, I'm not sure if I've seen that so much in webcomics, where the sort of give up end closure, like, I'm sick of this, I'm done with it. I usually see this, so, you know, the wedding one, where it's the sort of happy ending, sort of, I give up. But I think we got to take our last break, and when we come back, I don't know yet. That was I Don't Know by John Caspi and the First Gun, found at musicalley.com by Mevio. So I was in the hospital on Friday, which explains why I don't have the episode of Web Fiction World up yet. I work overnights, and I had Burger King, and then while I was finishing the last burger, I started feeling a little bit of tightness in my chest. I was at work, so I thought, okay, well, I can't really do anything. I'm just going to relax. And in the morning, it was still kind of there. Just a little bit of tightness. Nothing I felt. It was always in the same spot. So, you know, I was thinking, okay, just kind of wore myself out or something. I don't know. It'll go away. I go home. I stop off. I get groceries. I wash my car. I get home. I call one of my friends about something, and then I tell her about my chest thing, and then she's like, you should go to the hospital. You know, you should get that checked out. It's like, nah. But she
I'm a man. Yeah. I don't need to go to the hospital for an ache. Why, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then she...
I am a man!
I'm a man, dammit! It's just a little pain. I'll walk it off.
Yeah, and then I was like, you know, I'm sure I can survive at least one heart attack. I did. And then I said that if I do die from one heart attack, I want that on my gravestone. I want it like a quote on my gravestone. I could survive at least one heart attack, I'm sure. Because it'd be hilarious.
Famous last words.
Yes! I don't want a dreary funeral. I want it to be funny. But, so
I can survive a heart attack as long as when I fall over, I land on exposed wiring, because I'll get right back up.
Well, which is how it was discovered, actually.
Really?
Which is how the defibrillator was discovered, was there was this farmer, and he was running an electric fence, or he was out by his electric fence and had an attack and sort of fell on it. And it actually perked him right back up.
You're full of shit.
No, I'm pretty sure that's how I mean, it's sort of anecdotal, but that's...
Yeah, it sounds like one of those stories that's apocryphal, but it also could very easily be true.
Right.
Because really, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I could also see someone dying a heart attack, and it's like, we haven't tried everything yet. You know.
Throw Put their finger in the outlet. See if that works.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe Wikipedia would tell the true story.
But... Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe. So anyway, I called the nurse line, and I told her everything, and she said, call an ambulance. And I was like, I don't have the money for an ambulance. So I ended up drove myself to the emergency room, and they all checked me in. And let's see, I went in at like 10 or 11, and I ultimately ended up coming out at about 7.
That sounds expensive.
They had to do all these tests. Well, I got like, I think I burnt, you know, I haven't used my insurance, my health insurance yet, and I think it's all gone now, is the thing. Because I have low health insurance. But it ended up being nothing. So which kind of pissed me off, because I kind of wasted my days. Like, at that point, I was like, it better be something.
I'm going to be pissed if I'm healthy.
Yeah, damn it!
Well, I was like, I had like the whole day. I was like, I'm going to work on Web Fiction World. I'm going to edit a few episodes of First Issue. Oh, right, you know, it's like, and then it's like, I get home, I'm tired, I'm worn out. I got to have a ride on a stretcher and an ambulance to go to the second site where they had to do the stress test where I run on a bike.
This guy might have heart problems. Let's make him exercise and find out.
Well, they needed to... Well, the blood tests seemed fine and everything, but they need to do a stress test to see if my heart will give out and everything, and everything
looks fine. That's one way to tell for sure, isn't it?
Well, you're also at the hospital, so they can take care of you, but...
Oh, yeah.
So that ended up being nothing, but... So that was fun. Let's see here. Last bit of news... What is that I can remember is First Issue, the comic book review web series that we do, is at firstissue.webcomicbeacon.com. We've recently updated. We're up to episode 44. We had a two-parter for Green Lantern New Guardians. We are still going through DC Comics New 52, reviewing the number ones. And I have a few more I need to render. I just finished uploading episode 46, which is Voodoo, which is really interesting, kind of, for a titty comic anyway. But, so we're getting towards the end of the 52, and I'm scanning all the number one issues that I have. People can also send in, number one recommendations. You know, they can mail us, number one issues for review. It's strictly a review show for the most part. It's not like we review bad comics because they're bad. Atop the Fourth Wall already has that. So we're doing a different thing, and we're only reviewing first issues with the intent of seeing, does this get me to want to read the rest of the comics, you know, to keep picking up the next issue. And that's our shtick. And so I'll upload, once I finish scanning all the covers of the number ones that I currently have, which I have a full short box now, including the Ooh. New 52. Plus, I have been keeping up on some of the New 52. More on that later. But Once they're all up, people can email us and say, "Ooh, you should read this one," and then I'll look at reader popularity and see, okay, this will be the fan choice for this month. So I'll have a choice, Marcus will have a choice, Melissa will have a choice, and then there'll be a fan choice. And I'll also open it up that it could be possible that, you know, independent and self-publishers can send in their first issue. And it has to be an issue, not a compilation, you know, like your 24, 30-page comic, as a possibility for us to review. I'm opening it up to that, but that wouldn't be as frequent as the other ones because I keep buying more number ones. We'll never get this done with. So that's we're having some fun with that. So go ahead and check it out. I'm going to be putting up I'm trying to get feedback for all the shows, so I'm going to try to find a script or a plugin I can use for WordPress that will save names and emails so that those feedbacks can also be an entry into our comic book giveaway right now. The current one is going to be when spring rolls around. That's when I'm going to be doing the drawings for the giveaway that I mentioned earlier in the show. So you can go ahead, webcastbeacon.com/giveaway for more information. Now back to the show of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. We are again here with Dave Barrick. Barack?
Barrick.
Barrick. David Barrick of girlpowercomic.com. Let's see here.
I'm fast.
There was one more piece of news. Did you mention last week about the Wagon webcomic battle new deck that's coming out?
Oh no, tell us about that.
Well, Michael Delheim has a new contest he's running, and he's making a new geek deck. So if you're interested in the Wagon webcomic battle game, then you definitely need to check that out at, what's his website? Is it?
OnyxSparrow.com will for sure.
OnyxSparrow.com will get you to,
but I'll
to
put
the
a,
Wagon game.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, we should do that. So check it out because you could get some swag, and he needs some more entries. So go ahead and jump on board.
Do it.
So there.
Do it now.
get to the contest. Do it now.
Let's see here. Looking at a couple of the questions from our vocal chat room here. Doesn't look like there's a whole lot more that we can answer right now. I have to, you know, I'm going to have to say I need to take a break. I really need to go to the bathroom right now. I really apologize. So you guys can talk amongst yourselves. I will be right back. Please wait.
I'm not waiting, Fest. I'm not going to do it. I'm tired of waiting.
I'm going to have a drink. That's why I podcast in a diaper.
The astronaut diaper, is it like the podcast diaper?
Yeah. I'm gonna check something.
So Pony Comics doing pretty well for you, Alex?
Oh, Bronies love me.
Yeah, I it shows how new I am at comics. I made a My Little Pony reference in one of my comics, and I was like, why did I get 8,000 extra hits today?
Is that what I need to do? I need to do a friggin' goddamn pony?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm really waiting. This is horrible to say, but I'm waiting for somebody to mix two internet memes to create a perfect storm of controversy and hate, which would be a Nazi-themed My Little Pony with a swastika on his ass.
I would guarantee you it's already been drawn.
It already exists.
It's guaranteed.
Internet, you never disappoint me.
Deviant art. For Hitler.
It would not shock me if it's out there already.
Yeah, the problem with doing a story comic is that, I don't really have the ability to pander to the latest internet trend as hard as I could. Because the funny thing is I introduced a character a while back, and I had a funny shirt for him, and I forgot to draw it on him. And I'm like, curses! So now I'm like, what's the quickest way I could get that shirt on him? It's like, I know someone will spill something on him. So I have to write to that so I can put his funny shirt on him.
I've done that too. I've done that where I wanted to have, because when I started my comic, I had, you know, whatever that there were. Actually,
there are so many Hitler ponies.
Yeah. The
did you look that up?
I did.
That's awesome.
Boy. Anyway.
Oh my God! Someone did a custom Hitler pony.
So anyway,
an actual toy Hitler pony.
I need to see this then. La 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 la.
That's the vocal chat room is going. There is no shame.
There's no shame on the internet.
Let's see here. We have it.
Yeah, pony.
We got a question asking about
pretty much any meme you can think of has already been cross-memed.
Right, so right. Bad.
Have you seen the? I don't even know if I should mention it, but My Little Pony fleshlights.
What? What?
They're
themed.
They're color coded. Let's just put it that way.
Anywho, we do have a question asking about ghetto girl characters, and I have no idea what that's supposed to refer to.
Ghetto girl characters?
I mean, black girl characters?
I don't know. Ghetto girl with a U. I don't know if it's a thing or not. So. Anyway.
Need more information.
Need more information. Trying to look at some of the questions that are on here. Yeah, not a whole lot of questions. Yeah, it's kind of hard to find questions in the chat room. So you'll have to use the question interface on the vocal thing to make sure I get it. But other than that, I've been really enjoying vocal thus far. We've been getting a lot more participation than on our Ustream thing. And I think that's a lot of drive-by visitors on the website, because at present, the Webcomic Beacon is a staff pick, so it does show up when we're on. So that's really cool. So hopefully you guys like what you're listening to. You can go to webcastbeacon.com for more programming, or go to webcomicbeacon.com for just the Webcomic Beacon. But we do also have a web fiction show, and it's, like I said, a comic book review show, and another show, which I'm not sure if is still going on. I'm going to have to talk to the people about that. I think that's about it we have for the show, as well as Alex tapping furiously on her keyboard.
That's not me.
Really? Not you this time?
Nope.
David?
Not me.
Mark?
What?
Anyway,
nothing.
So, Dave, is there anything else before we end the show that you want to plug? Are you working on any other projects?
No, I'm just trying to figure out ways to get more time to do my comic. First step is to usually after spending a weekend drawing, I'm a little burned out, so I take Monday and Tuesday off, and then I start working on the next page on Wednesdays. I need to just work a little bit ahead and get some kind of buffer, because I don't want to miss an update, and I know I have a few weekends coming up that I won't have all to myself. And on top of that, I've started doing I'm going to try to do a monthly vote incentive thing for top webcomics.
Okay.
Because I do that by actually drawing on paper, because everything else that I do the comic on is entirely digital.
Okay.
So I enjoy, getting back into that, but it's all pretty much just wrapped around the comic itself. I have a big to-do list of make a banner at this dimension and, link one t-shirt that I made onto the page and stuff like that.
Well, one suggestion I could have for you is to see, if you do feel you have a little bit more extra time, see if you can actually sketch more than one page at a time. If that might be a thing, where and then you can just go through, and after you get the loose sketch, then you can ink a few pages, and then you can run through and color a bunch. I don't know, that sometimes works for me and for other people, just to I find it really great, because sketching is the hardest part for me, just trying to figure out the layout, and I'll have 7 strips done, all sketched out, and then I'll go through and ink them all. And that seems to help streamline a process, especially if I'm on a roll. So, you know, just that might be a suggestion. But
yeah, the way I write stuff, like you said, laying out a page is surprisingly, that's a skill unto itself, which I'm still very raw at. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when I'm laying out a page, I'm still kind of writing it at the same time. So if I work on more than one page at a time, I may wind up, you know, writing and drawing stuff that I won't use because I'll, oh, you know what, this would make more sense if I change this piece of dialogue, and then something I've drawn ahead of time. In fact, I have, from my buffer, I still have like 4 pages that I haven't used because I drew them out of sequence. Right. And I drew them so far out of sequence that by the time I ever get around to showing them, I'll probably wind up having to redraw the page because my art has improved considerably since I started doing the comic.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there we go. All right. That sounds like that's the end of the show.
Till there.
This has been writing with no end in sight. You know what? Actually, you know what? I wanted to talk about Alex for a bit.
Yay! Me.
Now, okay, you do a journal comic presently. No, this will be the last thing before we go, because I meant to bring this up. You do a comic called Alex's Guide, which is a journal comic based on you and your life. From you dying.
Comic, yeah, you don't really have an end in sight because I do not know when my life will end.
Yeah, I mean, short of you dying.
Sure, yeah. Which would be like, oh, sorry.
God forbid. But, knock on wood. I mean, it's like, how do you end a journal comic? Do people really just want to do it until, you know, whatever? Or I'm going to do it up through college or until I finish college or something like that. You know, I think we do need to have another show on some journal comics. I mean, we've done it.
Yeah,
a
like Erica
times,
Moen ended Dar, her journal comic.
Yep.
By kind of just, you know, saying thank you and goodbye, and I'm going to go work on this stuff now.
Yeah. But, you don't. I guess you don't usually start with a journal comic saying that I'm going to die.
Right.
Unless, you know, and I'm not trying to be morbid or anything, there's somebody that's doing a comic because they're going to die, like they have cancer or something like that. That would be very interesting to talk about. Just in general, that'd be just interesting in general. But I don't know of anything like that. So if there happens to be something out there that people can direct me to, go ahead and send us an email at webcomicbeacon.com. webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. There we go. And so that is it for this episode, episode 221. Jesus Christ, there's so many episodes. I have been, we've had David Barrick from GirlPowerComic.com. Thank you for coming on the show.
Sure.
And let's see here. Alex Heberling from alexsguide.net. Thank you for coming on.
No problem.
And I've been Fess of ArcherComic.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Yes, I do apologize for running out. I thought I could hold it.
That's why you sit in a towel.
No.
Or you wear your podcasting diaper next.
Oh, no.